Welcome to Conversations with Marius Dosinescu. On this podcast, I sit down and interview the top SEO and e-commerce experts to bring you the latest insights and strategies for improving your online presence. Whether you're just starting out in the world of SEO or you're seasoned pro looking to stay up to date on the latest trends, this is the podcast for you. So, if you're ready to take your website to the next level and learn from the best in the industry, be sure to subscribe to Conversations with Marius Dosinescu. You can find us on aisa.ai, where you'll also find a wealth of useful information and amazing podcasts to help you grow your online business. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the fourth episode of Conversations with Marius Dosinescu. Today, we have a very, very special guest, Andrei Radu. He's the founder and CEO of GPEC, a Romanian e-commerce event. Actually, the biggest in Eastern, Southeastern Europe, I think, the biggest event. Welcome, Andrei.
Thank you very much, Marius, for inviting me. It is a pleasure. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Andrei Radu is already 18 years old, is CEO, CEO of and founder of GPEC. Oh, my God. 18 years.
A lot of time. A lot of time has passed.
18 years.
18 years, yes.
The most important e-commerce and digital marketing event in Romania and Eastern Europe. Wow, that's amazing. He's also the co-founder of Trusted.ro, the national program for certification of online stores, which he founded alongside with Legi Internet and the Association for Consumer Protection in Romania. Wow, that is very nice. Actually, I know the project. How is it going, Trusted.ro?
It's going with the market. It's developing. It is growing. But of course, it needs a boost from the perspective of communication and marketing and so on, because we want to grow the project and to go with the project to the consumer's mind. But right now, it is still an ongoing business.
Nice. Also, since March 2021, he has been the host of and presenter of the ePlan by Știrile Pro TV show, the first e-commerce show in Romania produced by Pro TV and GPEC. This is amazing. He is a specialist in user experience and e-commerce and provides specialized consulting services regarding the e-commerce market in Romania and Eastern Europe and the business opportunities existing in these markets. So welcome. We really have a great expert here in e-commerce. So
A lot of nice words for me. So thank you very much, Marius.
Actually, we know each other for more than 20 years. So
exactly.
I can confirm that those words are true. And I think the fact that the top television in Romania have agreed to work with you and to create this show is something amazing, and it's a confirmation of your value. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us a bit about your background and how you got started in the e-commerce industry?
Yes, many years ago, as you said so, more than 20 years ago, we had a publication which was called Link Magazine. And it was a financial and ITNC oriented publication, but on the business side of things. We had some time, I think the number six or seven from this publication was dedicated to the e-commerce industry, which was very small back then in Romania. And I didn't have a clue regarding the e-commerce market. I didn't know what cross-border transactions means. And I'm not talking about the cross-border, like the geographical border. I'm talking about how the payment gateways are processing the payments during a cross-border transaction. So I learned everything to do this special number on the e-commerce market. So I researched a lot. I was documenting a lot about the topic. I learned about the topic from Madalin Matica from Dotcommerce, if you remember Dotcommerce.
Oh, of course, I remember Modeline. Actually, he was our first processor, car processor at for the Lux.ro, so we remember.
Yeah. So he was the one who put it, the e-commerce field, into my mind. And afterwards, I thought that this e-commerce industry will be growing in Romania, because I looked at what's happening in other countries. I also saw the dot-com bubble in the US, and I said, okay, that went by. Amazon stocks decreased significantly, but increased very much during the same year. So I said, okay, e-commerce is the future. And Poland had a lot of numbers like rising and rising again. And I said, this e-commerce stuff, this e-commerce field is coming to Romania, and the Romanian market will be there. So that's was my first approach, that my first touch with the e-commerce market. And I fell in love with the domain. And I said, okay, we need to organize an event. We need to do something, especially for this industry, because the players in the industry, they knew about each other. Like, okay, I know Flor de Lux, I know eMag, I know all kinds of other online shops, Evomag, and so on. But they never encountered, they never knew themselves as persons. So I said, okay, this is the time when we have to provide an event in which all the major players will know each other, will network, and the industry will grow. So this happened in 2006 on June 8th. This is the date that I will never forget, because if you ask me 3 or 4 years ago, when was the summit, I won't respond to you, because I don't remember. But the first date I will always remember, like the first love, you know. So it's June 8, 2006, when we had the first event. It was the Romanian E-commerce Awards Gala. We had the online shops competition. More than 40 online shops registered in the competition. From 400, because the entire market was like 400 online shops back then. So more than 40 online shops joined the competition, and the winner was eMag, which is the major player right now in the industry. So that was the start. Back then, in 2006, only with an awards gala ceremony, after which we developed the entire event, and we thought of giving the community the know-how, you know, because it was a networking event at the beginning. But on the other hand, people were like, okay, but we want to know how to increase our revenue, how to sell more, how to grow online. So we added all kinds of modules to this event. And now it's like we have two major events per year, two GPEC summits, which are conference, workshops, trainings, expo area, and so on.
That's amazing, actually. When you look back, are you proud of the first edition?
No. For the first edition, I was pissed off, because I didn't know nothing about organizing events. So I didn't took into consideration the logistical parts of the event. Like, you know, you are renting a venue, and the venue is telling you, yes, you have sound, you have video, and so on. And you say, okay, the venue told me so, but I never checked those mics. I never checked everything to go perfectly. And we were at the venue, I think the Romanian Chamber of Chamber of Commerce, not e-commerce, Romanian Chamber of Commerce, which was somehow with you know, with the state involved, with the public administration, and everybody left at 4 p.m. And we had the event at 7 p.m. And when I saw that, you know, the screen is not working, the sound is not working, I was like, okay, who am I talking to right now? Because everyone left, and it was difficult. It was very harsh for us, the beginning. We delayed the event with 1 hour and a half. And think about the fact that we had 140 attendees in the audience, but we had the biggest players in there, like the Visa country manager, the MasterCard country manager, Roamcard, and so on. The biggest players were there. And we were like, okay, please excuse me a bit. Please excuse us a bit. Have a coffee, have a snack, and so on, because nothing is working. So, yes, I'm not proud of that event, but that event gave me, you know, the ambition to go forward and to make the second edition with everything working as it should be, you know, and that happened as the second edition was a flawless one.
That's amazing. Actually, it's a good thing being involved in startups in the last period. I heard a lot of times the saying, okay, if you're not ashamed of your MVP, of your first version MVP, minimum viable product, because basically that was your event at that time, then you are doing something wrong. So at this moment, I congratulate you. Basically, you had your MVP, you tested, you adapted, and you improved it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, about Gepäck, what makes it unique in the e-commerce landscape?
When we started, we were unique, just given the fact that nobody else was looking at the e-commerce industry. Because I totally got questions like, okay, you are doing a nice thing. You are encouraging the e-commerce market, but you guys, where do you earn your money? From where do you earn your money? Or are you doing something else and so on? Because the market was so small and most of the players were like, okay, it's nice to have. It's something that we should look at. And maybe in the future, we will go there and do e-commerce and sell stuff on the internet. But most of them were like, no, we are not making money from this, so this is not important. So back then, we were the only e-commerce event in Romania. So that made us unique. Meanwhile, once the market grew and the market developed, there are a few other online dedicated events in Romania right now. Two of them are dedicated to e-commerce, to the e-commerce field, and we are the third one. I think that the most important thing that differentiates us from other events is that we are focusing on great quality content. We don't want promotional speeches on stage. We are focusing on the audience, and we always put ourselves in their place and think about, what do I want to learn when I join GPEC Summit? And always, this is the question that makes us choose our speakers, that makes us say no to promotional speeches, even though we say no to some possible money and budgets from sponsors, because we treat our audience with respect. And this thing is transparent from many points of view. You know, I just to give you an example, when we say we start at 9 a.m., we start at 9 a.m. sharp.
You know? I can confirm that.
Yep. Even though there are a lot of, you know, a lot of our partners which are saying, okay, let's wait a bit because, you know, the traffic in Bucharest and so on. But I always say, for those people who are already in the audience and who made it to 9 a.m. because we said so, this is a sign of respect for them, and we should start at 9 a.m. The other ones, okay, they are getting late. They will come. They will lose a bit of the conference. That's their loss, but not ours. So we always treat our audience with this type of respect and put ourselves in their shoes.
Just a question that popped in my mind. Do you have also guest attendees from outside, not the presenter, the people that are present on stage or special guests, but
yes.
Talking about attendees that coming abroad?
Yes, yes. We also have attendees from abroad, but indeed, Marius, their percentage is small compared to the audience. It's like 5 to maximum 10%. We had an edition in which we had 10% of the audience from different countries. We had to the last edition that you attended to in September. We had attendees from UK. We had attendees from Bulgaria. We had attendees from Republic of Moldova, which is a very small country in terms of the e-commerce market. And we also had some attendees from Czech Republic. Basically, we have some attendees from abroad, but the vast majority of the audience is from Romania.
That's good. I think it will be a great opportunity to look in this, because I think the e-commerce landscape is becoming more and more internationally. So I think you should look into this. It's just an advice.
Of course. But we thought of this and almost 3 years ago, the pandemic struck, and nobody was traveling. Last year, we had a lot of questions from the audience abroad, which said, okay, but you are very close to Ukraine. Is it safe to go there? Is it not safe? So we have this issue right now with the war in Ukraine. But definitely, and also thank you for the advice, the e-commerce will go cross-border, and we should focus on bringing more people and making Bucharest like an e-commerce hub for the Eastern European countries.
Sounds very good. Okay, so your event is great. We got it. I agree with that. I vote for that. actually, I was from the beginning a supporter, even if I couldn't attend all the time, but I always shared your news, and I was happy to share the news, because I knew if you grow, the industry will grow with you. A lot of people will become more and more interested in this industry. And when everybody grows, actually, a lot more of clients are entering in the market. Also, when all the e-shops are performing at least good, not very good, but at least good, we have better customers. We have happy customers. They are not blaming the online for stealing their money or spreading bad news about the online and e-commerce. So I think you and your event had a very important contribution to the evolution of e-commerce market in Romania. Congratulations for that.
Okay. I'd like to think so. Thank you.
So let's go a little bit in the e-commerce market. How do you think this will evolve in the next 5 years?
Next 5 years is a long time to forecast, because we never thought about the war in Ukraine and how this will impact us. We never thought about the pandemic and how this will impact us. Fortunately, the e-commerce market rose during the pandemic, of course. But on the other hand, there were a lot of problems with the supply chain, with the manufacturing process, with lack of products, and so on. So 5 years is, I'm not going into that direction, you know, to forecast something for 5 years. But definitely, the Romanian e-commerce market will be growing year by year. And we are seeing this even during the last year, 2022, in which, okay, we are on a global recession situation, which happens all over the world. economic wise. So even though those kind of things are happening, the e-commerce market is growing because it has a huge potential to grow. It is not a mature market in Romania yet. We cannot compare ourselves to the UK market as an example, or to the Western countries like Germany or France. So we have a lot of potential. We have a lot of place to grow with. It is a blue ocean, not a red one right now. So I definitely will say that the market will grow. From the forecasts of McKinsey, if I recall correctly, in 10 years, we will be having a 30 billion euros market in Romania.
Wow.
Okay. So right now is like 7.2 or 7.3, something like that. 6.2 or 6.3. And 30 billion will be in 10 years. This means X5. Okay.
Wow.
So yes, the potential is huge.
Actually, some statistics shows that e-tailu, online commerce, is representing almost 25% of the entire retail market. How is this?
I don't have those data. I know for a fact that from Euromonitor and Eurostat last year, the e-commerce share from total retail was like 12%.
Internationally, not only European market. So basically, internationally, e-commerce represents almost 23.8, I think, from the total retail market.
That's correct. Globally wise, that's correct. Yeah,
it's huge.
In Romania, it's 12%.
12%. So basically, we expect to grow, and a lot of new players are coming on this market. With a lot of players coming into this market, the demand of services and automation, it's higher and higher. How do you think technology and automation will impact e-commerce businesses in the future?
It will definitely, all the businesses will be definitely impacted from the technology. And as you can see, Marius, as you know, Google is making steps to automate everything regarding the advertising. Facebook is doing the same thing. Basically, everything goes to the AI, machine learning. Everything will be, or mostly everything will be, automatic. Regarding the campaigns, will be automatically generated, automatically organized, and so on. So I guess the technology will have a very positive impact on the e-commerce industry, and I'm sure that every company which is developing a tool or something that will help the online shops and help the businesses to grow will be a company of success. Because I don't know how to put it. If you have an online shop, if you are an entrepreneur, your focus should be on growing the business on the customer experience, and not knowing everything like how to do Google Ads, how to do Facebook Ads, and put your effort into those manual things, which should be taking off your head, your effort, and developed with tools, with automated tools, including SEO and so on. So yes, the future is there in technology.
So is basically what you are saying is the companies that will use automation and the technology, and of course to improve their processes and everything, will make a big difference, and they can be more successful than the one they don't.
will be the winners.
That sounds very good. Can you share with us some of the most innovative trends in e-commerce that you have seen recently?
Yes, indeed. We are facing a change in the consumer behavior. And I'm talking about the consumer behavior in Romania. A lot of people, a lot of consumers are looking to different types of delivery. Like I want to receive my product at a locker because I don't want to expect the courier to, stay there at your place because the courier will show up to your door today between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Okay, so I don't want that. I want convenience as a consumer. So most of them are going towards those kind of different types of delivery. So they want lockers, and online shops should go to this trend. They also want convenience regarding the payment methods. And most likely during this time period, like global recession, they want to maybe to pay like, you know, that option, buy now, pay later, you know, to pay in, to not pay the entire amount right now. Another thing is cross-border. And I'm focusing on this thing because I always tell the Romanian online shops, you should go abroad. You should target other countries. You should sell except Romania. Because during the past few years, we saw a lot of companies from abroad which entered the Romanian market. And the fashion industry is the biggest example, like About You, Answear, Zalando, ePantofi, and so on. They came into the Romanian e-commerce market. So basically, if you don't do the same, you will lose, as a Romanian company, you will lose your share. So you have to go abroad. You have to expand your business. It is not that difficult. A lot of people are scared, you know, about the unknown. You know, it is a foreign country. I don't know the language. I don't know what consumers want in there. I don't know my competitors. I don't know how to sell products in there and to ship products in there. Or what do I do with the return, the returning process, and so on. Most of those things are viable as questions, but they are not that difficult. Okay, so if you have a business in Romania, you can definitely go abroad, like at least the countries which are neighbors to Romania. So, yes, those are three main things: different types of method of different types of payments, different types of delivery, and going cross border.
Related to delivery, I just saw a startup in the United States. It's a shared location for deliveries. It's an app. So basically, you, for example, you are a stay-at-home mom, and you can subscribe to that service to receive the packages for all your neighbors. And you just enter their address, and basically the neighbors will come and pick up the product from you, and the delivery companies are giving you a percentage of the delivered packages there. So basically things are evolving, and it will appear also an Uber app for lockers, something like that.
Yep. It is a trend. Your example is very good because it is a trend in the Western European countries. In France, as an example, it is exactly as you said, because people in there are going for sustainability, and they don't want a lot of couriers, you know, going from there to there and pollute the air and so on. So they talk with the neighbors and say, okay, what do you need? Because we need to buy this and this and this from our online shop, and they collect the entire command and have just one delivery, just one transport.
So it's a good idea for your partner, Fan Courier. Let's call Felix and,
yep. and you can tell him.
I will invite him in a podcast, so it will be very fun to give him this idea. Okay, how do you think small and medium-sized e-commerce businesses can compete with larger companies in the market? Because even at your event at GPEC, a lot of the attendees are small, medium enterprises or employees in bigger companies. But usually they're entrepreneur who wants to grow their business, who wants to learn, who wants to evolve. Let's give them some advices. How can they compete with these big companies, which are spending huge amount of money on advertising, on SEO, on TV, and so on? How they compete with these big ones?
Marius, generally speaking and globally speaking, it is always the same percentage of big companies, which is a small percentage, and small and medium companies, which is the vast majority. So it is not something that it happens only in Romania. This happens globally. The small and medium players should go for niches, should go for becoming specialists in their type of products they are selling. Like, if I want today to enter the vast vertical in the Romanian e-commerce market, which is called electro ITNC, okay, so this is a big domain, I can enter the market. This is not like, okay, it is eMag in there and I don't have a chance. No, I have a chance. But I have a chance only if I focus on some type of product. Like, I just want to sell, as you know, for example, I just want to sell professional video and photo cameras. And we have F64, okay, which is a successful business, even though eMag is the market leader. Or I want to sell professional or hi-fi audio solutions like the AV Store, okay, which is a smaller business, but this is the expert in their niche, in their domain. So this is the main thing. Become the expert in your niche, okay? Second thing is try to expand your business using other selling channels like marketplaces. And you can sell on a marketplace not only in Romania, but abroad, as we mentioned before, doing cross-border. And you have a lot of marketplaces, not only eMag in Romania, you have the eBay marketplace, which is entering Romania. They will have an official Romanian presence, an official Romanian branch this year. And you can sell on eBay in the United States, or you can sell on Amazon in the United States. So this is the best part of the e-commerce, because you don't have geographical limits. You can sell anywhere in the world. But the most important thing is to know what you are selling, to be an expert in your products, to find that niche, and to create a loyal community to your brand, you know? And this is one of the things that, unfortunately, I noticed to the Romanian online shops. They are only focusing on acquiring traffic, on acquiring new traffic and new customers, and they are not focusing on retention. They are not focusing on making their existing customers buy again and again and again. And they are losing money because of this, because it is more expensive to acquire a new customer than to have that customer shop and shop and shop again and again and again from you. And this is an indicator, you know it very well, customer lifetime value, which you should having in your focus as an entrepreneur, as an online business, and think about it, and you will see that your client will become profitable after three or four four purchases from you. You know, so not focusing only on new customers, but making your existing customers loyal. It is something that the online shops in Romania, most of them, are not doing well right now.
Okay, so the next question that I had in my mind, what advice will you give to someone just starting out in the e-commerce business, in the e-commerce industry? You just answered it. But let's formulate another one. What niche should they go in, and how can they approach this? I mean, I saw in a lot of groups the question, okay, I have $40,000, I have $50,000, I have $100,000, and I want to start a business. What do you recommend?
What should I do? No? Okay, so I have this money and I don't know how to do it, and I don't know what to do with them. As I was mentioning before, Marius, every niche in the Romanian e-commerce field right now is possible, is doable. So this is not a barrier. Like, you know, don't go into the fashion market because it's very difficult. No, you can do it if you have something specific on your website. But to answer your question, there are several types of categories which are selling very well in the Romanian e-commerce market right now. And I'm talking about that big electro ITNC niche. I'm talking about the fashion. I'm talking about the home and deco products. I'm talking about children apparel and children toys. And I'm talking about another vertical which is rising significantly, is the groceries one and the fresh, you know, the fresh products, the supermarket ones. This is a niche with a very, very high potential right now.
Well, that sounds amazing. Actually, I'm a client of Freshful, even if we'll make some advertising for them.
But that's not a problem.
Services, even if they are more expensive than the hypermarket, at least this is my impression. But I'm happy with them. I can order just in a small 5 minutes break that I'm taking for working, and that's it. Or I have my order, I repeat the order each week, and it's very simple. They are worrying about everything. I'm just receiving the products, even if I'm getting at home at 8 or 9 in the evening, they are coming home. And I think they're doing a great job. I don't know how much effort are they putting in this, or how much money, but it's an amazing job. Another one that is Shazamo or something like this.
It's, yes, Shazamo. Yeah,
Shazamo. I really think this will make our life easier, and we can focus on family and of course our work. Okay, Andrei. As you know, I started a new business. I had the before Flordelux.ro, the first online flower shop in Romania.
You were a pioneer.
Yeah. Actually, I was joking with a friend of mine because I was before my time, or after, you know, after trends or something new appeared. But now with my new startup with IYSA.ai, AISA.ai, I'm exactly at the point where should I be. Everything what is happening now is talking about automation, is talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and now I'm there. I combine my passion for e-commerce and SEO, and I'm on the way for the first time in my entire career. Because at one moment, you know, I had an online photo laboratory. Another time I had an online pet shop. I had a lot of other businesses that they failed. I had an advertising inside the PubliSMS.ro. It was an advertising inside the SMS. And so on. I had a lot of ideas and I did it, but sometimes too early, sometimes too late. But now, for the first time in my entire career, entrepreneurial journey, I'm on the wave, actually. And I'm working on this startup, AISA.ai, that combines automation with search engine optimization dedicated to e-commerce industry. So
Congratulations and good luck with the project.
Thank you. It's a very hard journey, but even though I'm in entrepreneurship for over 23 years, I still have that that hunger for success, for a successful startup, you know, and this helps me a lot. So let's talk about SEO, search engine optimization. I saw that you started to allocate time and invited very good professionals in for this part, search engine optimization for e-commerce. How does SEO play a role in the success of an e-commerce business?
That's difficult for me to respond because I'm not an SEO expert, but I know for a fact and I know for sure that SEO is very important for an e-commerce business. And we both know that if you're not on the first page right now, because Google is going for the endless scrolling page because they want to have just one page and this is it. But if you're not on the first page right now as results and you are on the second page, you are in the internet graveyard, as they say it, you know. Nobody finds you in there. You could hide a body in there. So SEO is very important for an online business. We passed by a lot of trends, like, you know, there were some times several years ago, and I still think they are talking about the voice search and so on. And everybody was asking, maybe, like a joke or not, like, okay, SEO will die and SEOs won't have a job and so on. This is not happening. And they are talking about this for several years, and they will be talking, I don't know, maybe more years from now on, but this won't be happening. SEO is very important for an e-commerce business. It is important to know how to describe the products, how to put the meta titles, the titles, and so on, so that Google will index your website and will say, okay, you deserve to be on my first page or in the first results. But I know for a fact that you are the specialist in here. I'm not an SEO expert. So
actually, I wanted to add one thing. 98% of the searches are going to the first page of Google. 98. So almost 100% are only 2% of the searches are going on the second page of Google.
Wow. That's huge, man, like 98%. So what are the chances to be on the second page and to have that 2% which will click on you being on the second page in Google?
So more than that, 68% of the clicks are going to the first top three positions.
Even though they are paid advertising.
Yes.
Okay.
Even if exists advertising exists, from the organic searches, so from that 98%, 68% of the clicks are going to the top three results. So basically, if you are not in top three, you have a problem.
Yeah.
That's why when I recommend something to an e-commerce business, I really recommend them to go for low-hanging fruits. So basically to go for the pages they can achieve, the ones that are not very competitive, instead of fighting for high competition keywords, because more and more people are going to search for long-tail keywords. Long-tail keywords are the ones that are composed of three or more words. So basically,
Marius, just a second. Let me switch roles with you. I will be the interviewer right now, and you will be my special guest, Marius Dosinescu. So let me ask you, Marius, because you said that your tool is developing those kind of things that I don't know of, you know, like SEO and so on. I'm not an expert. Let me ask you, what does your tool do for an online business?
I have to start with the story, actually. I had my own business for more than 19 years, e-commerce business for more than 19 years. I had my own web design and web development agency. I have my own SEO agency now. I worked with hundreds of clients doing SEO for them, and also I did SEO for myself. I had internal people working on SEO. I worked with agencies doing SEO for my company. And after all this period, I realized they don't know how to do SEO because it's very hard to keep up with all the changes that are happening. So even though they are very well intended, they cannot keep up with the changes. They cannot keep up with the news in terms of Google. For example, Google is updating their algorithm more than 4,000 times a year. 4,000 times a year. They just announce the big ones like 3 or 4 a year, but those changes are always happening. I realized a lot of time is spent on the repetitive tasks, such as, okay, write text for meta keywords, write text for titles, write text for do links, do that. After that, I developed an algorithm, an idea that I had to do this automatically. So basically, all those tendentious tasks that are taking time are very annoying.
Time consuming.
I was able to automate them. Actually, more than 68% average, we are able to automate SEO. So to talk exactly, we are able to automate up to 100% of keyword research and competitor research and keyword planning. Automate up to 80% of content generation and using AI. And different tools to assure the content is well written, up to 60% of technical SEO, and I'm talking about 404 pages, the error pages. I'm talking about 301 that are not well redirected. I'm talking about not matching the redirect with the keyword that you are in search engine result pages, and also we are able to automate up to 20% of site SEO. For the moment, our aim is to automate up to 50% of the off-site SEO. But at this moment, we are still in discussion with different big companies in terms of publishing and other way of getting very valuable links. But per total, and to summarize this, Aissa.ai is focusing on automating SEO. So basically, this is what our tool does, and this is why I have chosen the e-commerce industry. Also, I'm passionate about e-commerce industry, but one very important e-commerce industry has more need for this tool because they have a lot of products. So you have seen a lot of times happening, they import the XML file or whatever. Yeah. And all the descriptions, all the specification, all the things are the same for all the products. So I encountered the problem with one of my clients. They had more than 120,000 products on their website, and they said it's impossible to make description for all of them. So we just put a template there with put the name of the product, the code, and the size of the product, and that's it. And I realized this is wrong. So I started doing an algorithm integrated with OpenAI tools and also our own model that we are developing. And we are able to generate all that content that is personalized for each product. Even if it's about the content, if it's about the title, the meta description, meta keywords, because I want to use meta keywords because I think in the future this will be also important for search engines. So basically, we have built the tool to automate those time-consuming tasks, and I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy, actually.
Congratulations! So just one more question for you, Marius. If somebody uses your tool, Aissa.ai, as you mentioned it, will he be needing another SEO expert? Like a human SEO expert?
Depends. Usually, okay, this our tool can be classified as do-it-yourself SEO. So mainly he will not need, but this is actually true for the ones that they don't use SEO because they don't use SEO agencies or SEO experts because they cannot afford. So basically, our clients are also agencies that want to improve their working time. And small medium enterprises that are not that they don't know about SEO.
They don't do SEO at all.
Almost
at all. Okay. Yeah.
An interesting statistic: more than 70% of global companies they have more than 70% of them they have at least one SEO person in house.
Okay.
So basically, we are targeting those companies because. We really think that the guy can make a big difference using our tool, and also they can use outside agencies for an extra effort to get better results. Like, okay, create for me a content strategy to publish in different newspapers that we are not aware of. So basically, each of the company can work with SEO agencies to create a content strategy that is adapted to their market specifics, that it's adapted to a country specific, and so on. So basically, it's a tool that helps SEO agencies, is not a tool that eliminates them. I got this question a lot of times.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Now get back to me. I'm the interviewer here.
Exactly. Enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Okay. What will be the new in this year GPEC event? We can just an idea if you don't have something very clear in your mind.
We have it very clear in our minds. We have the entire calendar for this year for this year's events, and we have indeed a premiere which I'm not allowed to talk about yet. But I can tell you that we will be having another GPEC Summit event, a new GPEC Summit event in a foreign country in June this year.
Wow!
Yes.
Huge.
Yep. I cannot.
I will publish it. I will not have a camera, but I will use it.
This is a premiere for you. Okay. This is a premiere. I cannot tell you which is the country and when will the event be happening, but this news will be coming soon. Except that, of course, we have our classical events like the GPEC Winter School, which is happening online in February between 15 and 19 this February. The GPEC Summit event, the spring edition in May 22-23 in Bucharest. Afterwards, we will have another GPEC Summit, the new GPEC Summit in June. We have the GPEC Summer School, August 23-28, which is held at Moeciu de Sus. At you know, in the Carpathian Mountains, and with a lot of fun in there. And afterwards, we have the GPEC Summit edition from the autumn, which will be held in Bucharest in October, together with the Romanian E-commerce Awards Gala. This year is the 18th year anniversary, so we have to party, you know, like 18 years old. This is it. We are adults now.
You are going to faculty.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any SEO or AI experts that you could mention?
We are working with, and I'm not talking about GPEC. I'm not talking about GPEC projects, but I'm talking about GPEC as a community. We are working with a lot of SEO agencies like DWF, and you know the guys, Horia Nagu, which has Napoleon Digital, NTH Digital, which has their own SEO department, Upswing. There are a lot of SEO companies in Romania that we proudly mention. Of course, we are eager to work with you guys and to put you there on GPEX list. So
we'll hardly wait. But in terms of speakers, do you have anybody specialized in this area, SEO, AI?
We will be having a workshop, a masterclass, this GPEX Summit Spring Edition on May 23, which is dedicated to SEO. But I'm not able to disclose the name of the speaker. It is an international speaker, but we don't have the contract signed yet. So I'm not able to discuss it, to disclose it right now.
I will have a few guests. I cannot talk to you about them. I will have a few guests also by myself, and maybe I will invite them to your event. Also, I'm working with a Bulgarian company with over 3,000 clients. They just entered in the Romanian market, and I will invite them also to your event. I hope they will be able to attend. I'm
Thank
sure
you.
The presence there, their presence here in Romania will mark their launching on the Romanian market. They are very good. They do a great job. They are already international. They have international presence, and they are focusing on Eastern European countries. They already have a presence here in Bulgaria, in Albania, and Hungary, I think. And they are focusing on Eastern Europe for the moment. And after that, they will grow to Western Europe countries. Okay, a few questions about yourself. Are you married?
Yes.
I know, but
yes.
Any kids?
No, we don't have any kids.
So no plan for kids?
Plans we have.
That's good.
We have a lot of plans, but no kids yet.
No kids yet. Okay, how many hours of sleep you get a night?
8 hours per night.
That's yep. Very good.
Yep, I'm a really happy person. I have the 8 hours as I should be having. But of course, there are exceptions, and those exceptions are before the GPEX Summit events. So okay. If I sleep 3 hours before a GPEX Summit event, I am very happy.
That's good. So you have a healthy life. So that's good. Okay. Do you have any books to recommend to our audience?
I have a lot of books to recommend. So I'm not sure which one is the best, but I'm always looking for things that are helping online shops to grow. And one of the books, it is written by Steve Krug, and it is called Don't Make Me Think. This is a very old book. Its first edition was like 96, but Steve Krug chose to update every time this book, and he has the seventh edition for 3 years ago. It is very good for all the people involved in the user experience domain, in the user experience field, because you will know how to, design your website so that people won't have to think like, ooh, what's this button do? And if I press this, what will be happening? So it is very important for those interested in UX. Of course, there are a lot of books on conversion optimization. I totally recommend Brian Eisenberg's books. There are a lot of books on marketing. Mark Sheffer wrote a very good one and published one, I think, this January. It is called Not Marketing Rebellion. That was the previous one. It's something with brands. I'm not sure right now.
We will share it in the description of the...
Yeah, of course. Of course. Okay. Of course. So there are a lot of books to recommend. At least 20 books that are must read for every player in the e-commerce field.
Okay, we'll share it in the description, and I'm sure this will help them a lot. Tell me, what can you name an entrepreneur that you admire very, very much, or a CEO, or just I don't know, a very important director somewhere, a person? Do you admire someone?
Yes, I indeed. There are a lot of entrepreneurs which I admire, and I'm talking about Romanian ones. Except you, of course, because you know people which are having a conversation are excluded by default. I admire very much Felix Pătrășcanu from Fan Courier, which has a lot of stories of how to learn to be an entrepreneur, because he did that, you know, personally. I admire very much Julian Stanciu from eMag. It shows the power of saying yes, we can. You know, it is ambition over ambition over ambition, and he developed a very high position company. I don't know. There are a lot of players in the e-commerce field that I admire. I can do the same with the list of books. I can also put a list of great minds. And another example from the events industry. I admire Avi Ciciran for Brand Minds. He did a wonderful job with the Brand Minds. So. Those kind of people are showing you that there is no boundary, there is no thing like it is impossible to do that. If you want, you can do it, and if you focus on something, you will definitely achieve success.
Okay, sounds very good. We'll share also in the description of the podcast. Can you share with us one of your biggest failure from professional point of view?
Biggest failure? Except the first edition of GPEC?
Except that.
That was my biggest failure. Yes, I do have a story in which I managed to upset a key international speaker for GPEC, which was the main speaker of the edition. I managed to upset that guy, putting him a lot of questions regarding his presentation, and telling him that, you know, we don't want blah blah speeches. We want something practical, something very. I don't know, you know, hands-on like content. And after my email, he said, okay, I decided not to join the event. My company will return you the money for my speaking gig. And this is it. Good luck with your event and so on. And that was happening like less than 7 days before the event. And wow. Yeah, and we went publicly and said, okay, it was very, very difficult. It was tough because this was the main speaker, as I was mentioning, and we also had advertising on radio, spots on radio, and so on. And it was like, okay, what should we do now? And we went transparent, and we said, okay, he will not be joining us at this edition. If you want your money back, this is it. We can make the refund. And except two people from almost 500 tickets sold at that edition, except two people who went for their refund, nobody asked for the refund. So it was a failure from this point of view, but on the other hand, it was something that made me think that if you are honest with the audience, it was a game for me. You know, if you are honest with the audience will give that honesty back to you and will appreciate the honesty. So that was it.
a very tough lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining me today. It was a great, great podcast, and I think audience will enjoy it also.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very welcome. I wish you luck with your new event in June. I am sure it will be a success. Of course, I will try to attend as much as possible as attendee, as participant in the booth area. We'll see about that, but I'm really sure your event will grow, and we will grow along
together
with it. Yep. Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marius. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.